With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
For more on that in John Beilein's departure, let's go out the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline and welcome in Sam Amico of SI.com. Sam, I appreciate the time. How shocked are you that we've reached this point where John Beilein is out? He's going to say goodbye, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, to his staff, to his players tomorrow, and JB Bickerstaff is in.
It's a little stunning. The timing of it is stunning. You know, I had heard from an opposing general manager, so that doesn't mean it was Kobe Altman, but he said he would be surprised if John Beilein was here next season. And James, he said the same thing that the rest of us say after a John Beilein press conference, after games a lot, you know, and it's not reporting, it's just observation, but he looks miserable a lot of the time. And that's not to say he wasn't committed, and that's not to say he was miserable, it's just he looked like he just, you know, you felt for him, like he was a fish out of water. And after 41 years in the college game, I just think that, you know, look, in college basketball, James, what, you have 4 or 5 practices a week? In the NBA, you're lucky to get 2 a week. And I just think that wore on him, especially in a rebuilding situation, not having those practices and not being able to teach any time other than games. I just think that wore on him, and they just weren't getting anywhere.
Sam, let's say that's the case, and I totally get it, and I'm with you. I mean, there's been so many times where we're sitting there at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse awaiting John after a loss, and he comes in, and he looks, you know, like he's just so distraught or upset or bothered by what happened. And I get it because he's not used to losing. At the same time, something as simple as practice time, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that you're not going to be able to practice as much as you did in college while you're traveling across the country and you have the NBA lifestyle of 82 games. It's much, much different. It feels like maybe he just didn't think about that and do his due diligence, or he underestimated it.
Yeah, I think it's just a case of underestimating it. I think that, you know, maybe you think, look, I mean, it's worked for Billy Donovan and Brad Stevens. Billy Donovan, Oklahoma City, Brad Stevens in Boston. But guess what? Those guys, when they came from college to the pros, each took over. You know, Billy Donovan took over a team with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, mm-hmm. Okay? Brad Stevens took over a team that was about a year away from contention. You know, and they were totally different situations. This was a situation where we want the coach to come in and teach these guys and, you know, make progress and keep them positive. And it was a totally different situation. So I think that both sides, not just John Beilein, I think the Cavaliers also, you know, Kobe Altman and his team underestimated, you know, this guy is going to need a lot of practice time with this team because they're not, you know, they're not anywhere. Now, whereas an NBA coach, someone with NBA experience would know, okay, I've got to teach and reach these guys during games. So, you know, I don't think it was any, you know, there's nobody's fault here. It's just something that didn't work out. And when that's the case, you just have to move on.
Sam Amico, SI.com, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I'm James Erpine with you till midnight here on The Fan. Sam, I hear you. And I'm also, I look at this Cavaliers organization now, and JB Bickerstaff will be their 4th head coach since October of 2018. Like, that's such a short time span. And Colin Sexton's gone through all this turnover, and it's a dysfunctional franchise. I mean, that is what they are, and I get it. They won the title in 2016 and made 4 straight finals appearances, but I can't overlook what they are without LeBron James. Where do they go from here? Is there any hope? What are your thoughts overall on the direction of the Cavs, not necessarily their roster, but as an organization, as they try to rebuild a winning culture here in the post-LeBron era?
Well, you're right. You know, four coaches in since 2018, that supersedes even the Browns, which is hard to do. But they have to find some stability, you know, and they have to. I think that, you know, you're looking, you've got to hope that J.B. Bickerstaff is the answer, or at least, a solution for the next few years, because it's already going to be tough enough to get free agents to come to Cleveland just because, you know, it's a smaller market in a cold city and all that. So if you're Kobe Altman and you're Dan Gilbert, you have to know, okay, we're going to have to build our team through trades and through the draft. Those are the two options. You know, you have to look at teams that have done it, like San Antonio, Milwaukee, other small market teams, and they've done it. You know, both those teams did it they got a little bit lucky, right? I mean, Giannis Antetokounmpo was a number 15 overall pick. San Antonio, when they had Kawhi Leonard, he was a number 15 overall pick. You have to get a little bit lucky with somebody like that, or if you can get a higher pick than that, but you have to get lucky in the draft, regardless of where you're picking. And you've got to be smart about and not overthink things. Sometimes, I mean, I'm intrigued and really like analytics, but sometimes I think, you know what, don't overthink things. You know, take the best player. I don't know that I'm sold on this, you know, two guards who are 6'1". Because it works analytically. You know, I just think they need to make wiser decisions in who they're drafting, not try to outthink everybody else and make the smart pick. And mostly you have to get some stability, and you've got to get behind your coach in that locker room and not let this happen again. You know, you can't let the players form a little mini mutiny against the coach. Yeah. You have to say, look, the coach is in charge. Other than Kobe Altman and Dan Gilbert, the coach is in charge. And they have to set it up just like a Greg Popovich-type situation where you are behind your coach 100% and not letting guys in the locker room, you know, go to reporters and complain about the coach and you know, just let it go. You've got to toughen up. If you know, toward the players. And I think the players are great guys, but they need some structure. And if you don't have structure at any level in any sport, when you're dealing with a bunch of 20-somethings and guys in their early 30s, you're going to have problems. And they need to get that structure and that discipline starting from the top, or this is just going to continue.
Sam Amico joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Here's my problem with that structure in the idea that they can find stability here. And it's not necessarily J.B. Bickerstaff's fault. It's not really Kobe Altman's fault. I look at it, and Chris Fedor was on the morning show today, and he's like, yeah, Dan Gilbert has to sign off on every decision. It's still from trading Andre Drummond, and he went down the list here. And I don't want my owner, and I was trying to think of a professional sports franchise that is successful this way, having an owner involved in the basketball operations or involved in the football operations. I don't want Dan Gilbert to have to sign off on what Kobe Altman does. I don't know if Kobe Altman is a good general manager, but I want to find out. And I want him to have a real shot. And I think your real shot as a professional franchise isn't having a micromanaging owner who hovers over the basketball operations. I think that gets in the way of building the culture that you're talking about, Sam.
Yeah, and it does. And I agree with you. And you know, a few years ago, James, obviously I've been covering this team for a while now. I can tell you a little story. Was I reported that David Griffin was a general manager, and this was before LeBron came back in 2014. It was that summer and when David Blatt was eventually hired. But I put a story out there through a very concrete source that the Cavaliers were, you know, intended to talk to John Calipari at Kentucky. And David Griffin says to me, you know, I get a call from David Griffin, said, you know, we're not going to talk to Calipari. And I had to tell him, I had to say, David, you may not be talking to John Calipari, but your owner is. And he, you know, and that was true. And
oh God,
you can't have that kind of. We'll do, you know, the GM will do his search and I'll do my search. You can't have that. You've got to have everybody in unison. And I think until they realize that, yeah, it could be an issue moving forward. I will say, and even before, you know, Dan Gilbert's health issues, he had taken a step back from that the basketball operations side of things. And I think that he will continue down that road. Right now, you know, they just need to finish these last, 30 games and just be drama-free and just show some progress on the court and, you know, show signs of life heading into this off season where it's like, you know what, all of this first, 54 games, all of that is just washed away. It's in the rearview mirror. Let's move forward and show some stability and show some progress on the court and you know, take it from there. And you've got to hit some home runs this off season because you cannot continue down this path or you're going to be the New York Knicks. You're going to be Sacramento Kings. You're going to be one of these teams that just loses year after year after year until eventually, you know, nobody at all cares. And they don't want to, get to that point. They eventually have to turn the corner here. And I would say fairly quickly, to keep the fans interested.
Sam, so you say that, and I'll let you go with this. So you're saying that, and we just talked about an owner who likes to get involved. So I wouldn't be shocked at all. Andre Drummond trade could be the start of this. If they get aggressive this offseason and try to make some moves to somehow become, I don't even know if you could say playoff contenders, man. They're 14-40, but somehow become competitive next season.
I can tell you that these next 30 games or however many, you know, we're 28 or whatever, are going to be auditions just about for everybody. You know, they're going to make some determinations on what to do moving forward. If that means, you know, moving some of the young guys because they don't feel like they're long-term fits. And I don't know that they feel like that right now, but I can tell you they'll try to make that determination. You know, and what will they get in a package centered on Kevin Love? Maybe this offseason, and he's going to be a little more valuable.
You sure they're going to trade him, Sam? I mean, now he's got his coach in place.
I don't think there's any guarantee, but I think that those things are going to be explored.
Sure.
Tristan Thompson, you know, you try to do a sign and trade with him, although I don't think they're going to get anything for him in a sign and trade. But I think that they're going to really explore. And I hate to say this, but I think they're going to explore gutting the roster and starting over. I really do.
Oh.
I mean, at 14-40, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? What makes you think, you know what, they can really build around this particular guy? And I really like Colin Sexton. I like Garland. I like Kevin Porter Jr. But right now, all of those players to me look replaceable. And I think that you have to think, we've got to start over. How best do we do that? That's not to say trade those young guys, but you have to consider every possible option again and get yourself back on track and show signs of, like I said, show signs of stability. Otherwise, man, this is just going to be more of the same.
I'm with you, Sam. Sam, I appreciate the time. Make sure you check out his work at SI.com, at Amico Hoops on Twitter. Get some rest, man, because I'm going to be there tomorrow in Independence. It is going to be and I know you are, it's going to be a wild day, I'm sure.
Well, we made it a full, 20 minutes without arguing once, so we're going to have to make up for lost time tomorrow.
I almost took exception to your Darius Garland comment, but, you know, it was
threw it in there.
It was technically praise, but I almost came after you, Sam. I appreciate the time, my man.
All right. Thanks for having me. Talk to you soon.
Good stuff there from Sam Amico on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.